Yes. Anyway, so last week we were doing the one of the Aseret HaDibros of Shabbos, as we were nearly finished at the end of last term. I thought we would finish last week. We're almost finished. I mean, never finished, but we're almost going to move on. But there's just a few more things. So last week, at the end of the year, we were going through a little bit of, from a halacha sefer, just because based on the words in the actual, yes, hi, good morning, good morning.
This is Master
Sringle
Joffrey from Johannesburg.
Nice to meet you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Beautiful. Thank you.
Come.
Esther and Hannah. Well, welcome, welcome.
Come for a meeting.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Come, my husband hasn't seen his sister for 18 and a half years.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Well, I'm 17.
18.
Oh,
not
my.
Nearly
19.
Ever since we came.
Wow. Oh. So is it the three of you? Three. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, that's special. The Noch Schlepper, no. Not after all these years. The sister-in-law is part of the family.
Absolutely.
You are number four. That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, fantastic. Well, enjoy. So how long are you staying?
A week.
Oh, a quick
so
one. A quick trip.
Fly.
Quick.
Well, we might. It's called work.
Nah, South Africans don't work.
No.
I'm joking.
We had once upon a time.
That's right.
We will call me good workers.
That's it.
When I think of the people that worked for me, I can cry when I think of them, because they were so wonderful. They were like family.
That's what happened.
And when I think of them, I can cry.
Brenda's from Bethel.
She's from the Clark Bethel, huh?
And they
from
the other side. Yeah.
The other side.
Clarksdorp was a little bit far from Bethel.
No.
Okay. So we're going to be in there in a minute. We're just going to do something else first. We're getting there, as we were saying. So we're in the middle of the Aseret HaDibros, in the one of Shabbos. And as I said last time, so we're just going to continue from last week a little bit, and then we're going to go, hopefully today, we will move on to Kibbud Avaim. That's the fifth one of the Aseret HaDibros. Okay, so just to, we never finish, as we say, we just barely scratch the surface, but just to scratch a little bit more. So we were saying last time we were going through some of the halachas that are based on, again, Shabbos is, you know, halacha is a whole different subject. We're not doing halacha, but nevertheless, based on the Dibra that we read in the Pesukim, so we learned quite a few things. And last week we were talking about the concept of Kavod and Oneg, honoring Shabbos and the pleasure of Shabbos. So the two different, the delight in Shabbos and the honor, and they each one entail and actually practically have different effects of how we act on Shabbos. So we were talking about that, and then we said, we mentioned about having fish, and then we also mentioned about what happens if somebody cannot afford. And we were talking about how, because the pasuk says, Zochar es yema Shabbos l'katsho, that's the pasuk that we read, so you should remember. And as we know, there are different ways to remember. We remember Shabbos the entire week. One of the ways that we remember Shabbos the entire week is if somebody is limited with their funds, and they really don't have funds for something extra for Shabbos, because we mentioned that on Shabbos people should have an extra dish on the table. It shouldn't just be like the weekday. Then what should you do? And there's a big discussion. Should you borrow money for the expenses of Shabbos, or should you not borrow money for the expenses of Shabbos? And the halacha was interesting. It said if you have like something at home that you can, I forget the word mashkanev, that you can give as, yes, and then you can get money for it, so then you should. But if you have nothing at home, then just stamp to borrow is not a good idea. But what the Chachamim said is what you can do is limit what you're having during the week to enable you to have more on Shabbos. And that is something that the Chachamim do recommend. So we did mention that. And as we said, best is not to take from tzedakah, That's not ideal, but to limit during the week is ideal. Then we said, okay, and we said we should at least try not to have less than two kinds of foods on the Shabbos table. And then I'm just looking over here, and then I just wanted to finish this part. You shouldn't ask others. We're not even talking about like formal tzedakah, but best is not necessarily to ask others for help unless you're very, very comfortable. I suppose like it's a good friend or somebody and it's not really tzedakah, then you are permitted to ask somebody to help you if you taka have nothing for Shabbos. Okay, so these, Baruch Hashem, most of these halachas don't really apply practically to us today, for most people. There are still people, but for most people. But I just wanted to show you one more thing that is very practical. So as we know, we did do this in a different context, the famous thing of the difference between Hillel and Shammai, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, how that affects our whole attitude. We know, what did Shammai do? Shammai would, he would actually remember Shabbos the entire week because he would look out for something special and he would put it aside for Shabbos. Hillel did it differently. Hillel would find something very special, good morning, Lisa, and he would put it aside, but then the next day he would find something better. So he would use the thing that he had originally put aside, because he said, oh, now I have something better, and put that aside. Every day he was eating in the honor of Shabbos, because he was eating so that he could have something better for Shabbos. So, but Hillel himself said that Shammai's way is really the best way, because his way is nice, is a nice attitude, it's true. But the more sustained one is Shammai's one, because Shammai literally puts something aside and keeps it for Shabbos. Every single day, made sure to have something for Shabbos. Okay, then I just wanted to see, there was one more, and then we mentioned about the clothing, that's Kavod Shabbos, is the clothing in honor of Shabbos. And also, very interesting, it says that, and this now again has become very common, that it is a minhag, as it says, noyagin, and it's an important minhag, to actually bake challah for Shabbos. Interesting, many people think it's just a nice thing to do, and it is nice, and it smells nice, and everything, and it's a mitzvah. But besides for that, actually, in honor of Shabbos, it is a good thing, if a person is able to actually bake, and not to buy from the store. That's what the halacha mentions. Obviously, you are permitted to buy from the store, you haven't done something wrong if you have, but it is a minhag, and it is important, if you can, to actually bake for Shabbos. Okay, and also in nowadays, again, we, Baruch Hashem, who live in communities, don't have this issue so much, but you know, there is a concept of being able to buy from a non-Jewish bakery. In other words, a Jew is not putting on the fire, but it's best on for, if the ingredients are kosher, but for Shabbos, it's best that it should be Pas Yisrael, right? So it should be either a frum baker or somebody putting on the fire, or you're baking it at home or whatever it is. Okay, so these are all mentioned in Halacha, all regarding Kavod and Oinig of Shabbos, all deriving from Zohar and Shomer, as we mentioned. Okay, I just want to go through this a little drop of a diversion, as we said last week, but it's okay, we'll see something beautiful. Look on the sheets you have in front of you. So here, it's going to come into what we were talking about, how we honor Shabbos. So let's see, we're going to get there. We'll read it quickly. Please stop me if I'm going too fast, or if you have anything to add, please add. So on the first page, there's a booklet here. Okay, so it says, Mesupar b'Zayar Parshas B'Shalach. So it's written in Zayar on Parshas B'Shalach. The Hanhagas Rabbi Yesa Saba. That was his name. He had an interesting conduct. What did he do? Shehayomechin Tzu'udasei B'chol Yeim. That every single day he would prepare his meal, Rak La'achar, only after Shalifnei Kein, Hayomevakesh M'Zaynoisav Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. Only after he asked Hashem, can I please have my supplies for the day, so to speak, everything that I need. And only after he asked, did he actually go to his cupboard, take out his stuff, and prepare. Okay, so interesting thing, which means, and that's what the Gemara says, it's not from the Gemara, it's from the Zayar, who lo hechin tzudasei ad sheyaviu lo mizaynoisav me'eis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means, to Rabbi Yesa, how it looked is, even though the food was in his cupboard, it didn't matter to him, when he went and opened it up, it was as if Hashem at the moment was giving him his food. And he asked Hashem permission, and not only permission, but it's more than permission, but actually like, please supply me, and then he would go and he would take it. And the interesting thing is, it says, the question is, it was already there. He had already gone to the market, he had already bought it, he had already paid for it, it was already in his home. Why? And all he needed to do was prepare it. What does it mean that he's asking Hashem to give him his food? The food is there. So this is what we have to understand. What's really going on in his mind? So look on the bottom, the big paragraph, Yesh Lemer HaBiur Baza, Yadua. Biurei Shel HaBechaye, Al Maimer Chazal. So we know how the Rabbeinu Bechaye explains what the Chazal say. She Yosef, the famous question, She Yosef Nena Shal Kach Shebikesh Eitzel Sar HaMashkim. Good morning. Very nice to see you. We'll get, if you can pass. So good to see you on the wow. Okay. So what happened was, the Sarah Mashkim, we say, Yosef was punished. Why? Because he asked the Sarah Mashkim, v'hizkirtani el Pare, that he should remember me to Pare. And we know the famous thing that it took 2 years until the Sar HaMashkim actually remembered to tell Pare that, oh, there's a man in there in the prison and he knows how to interpret dreams. So the famous thing is that Yosef asked him for help, and Hashem said, you asked a person? You're not supposed to ask a human being, therefore you'll spend another 2 years, and it's a punishment. But there's a big philosophical question. Shechas v'sholem sheyit li Yosef ha-tzadik b'tchoynei b'sar ha-mashkim, rak b'Hashem levadai. We know, we can't even begin to imagine, knowing Yosef in his whole life, that he was really trusting the Sar HaMashkim. That's not what he was doing, right? And we know that he was only trusting in Hashem. Obviously, he knew that ultimately it was Hashem who was in control. Aval hoysa kavanosei shehashem yizbarech hizmin eilav Sar HaMashkim. So what did Yosef intend? Yosef thought that Hashem had prepared for him, so to speak, and designated and sent him the Sar HaMashkim, kidei sheyase leineis al yadei, so that a miracle should be done through him. So why is he punished? That's the way we're supposed to behave. For us, the truth is, we wouldn't have been punished. I'll be honest. We're not Yosef. Let's see. But Yosef, we say, v'hasiba sheyosef ne'enash al kach, he lefi shebikesh Siba b'sar hamashkim. This word Siba is used a lot in the Shar HaBetochen, in the famous Sefer Chovas Halvavos. You have over there the word Siba used all the time. What's the word Siba? In Hebrew, Siba just means a reason, but it's a cause. It's a cause and a means. That's how he uses it. In other words, it's like an intermediary. It is something which causes something else to happen. So we say that Yosef, what did he look for? What did he think he needed? He thought that he needed an intermediary. Who would be the intermediary between Hashem and himself getting out of prison? So he thought it would be the Sar HaMashkim. He would mention it to Parai, and Parai would say, sure, you can go. Let's see. And he thought that's how Hashem would save him. And we say like this, Ve'ein ro'oy, and that's what the Rabbeinu Bechaye says, Ve'ein ro'oy latzadikim, ki yaitzebai levakesh siba. A tzaddik who's on the level of Yosef should not look for any causes. He can go directly to Hashem. He's on that kind of a level. He goes direct. And therefore, and not only that, but you see, it's incredible the severity. He was punished. You should have trusted directly in Hashem. Shehu Baal Hasibah. He is the core, you know, he's the master of all the causes. Kulan. Shehu Yazmin Eilav Hasibah Mibilti Sheyevakesh Uaisa. Hashem will provide without him asking. Now, we are not taught that. Usually we are taught that we are supposed to make a way, right? We make a, how do you say it, a keli, right? We do, you know, we go to work, so we get money. We can't sit back and expect the money to fall on our doorstep. However, Yosef had tzaddik, it was expected. Yosef was like the level of the Jewish people in the desert, where the man just fell at their doorstep, right? They had to do nothing, and they just had what to eat. That was Yosef. Yosef was that level. But what does that mean to us? Why do we, I mean, that's not for us, as we say. How could we apply that to our life when that's really not the way we live our life? So we say, we're going to continue. We say an interesting thing. We ask, v'shoyle malkach, it is explained, harein mevor b'chayvus halvavus b'nagel b'tachin, that when we talk about the concept of b'tachin, we know what the chayvus halvavus explains, sheyesh chiyuv la'asayk b'sibais, right? Actually, in the chayvus halvavus, when we learned it was amazing, he actually says that a person has an obligation. Not only is it like human nature, and that's what we do, but it's an obligation that we actually have to engage in this type of behavior. We have to go to work so that we get our money. We have to cook so we have what to eat. We cannot expect to get out of bed and everything will be ready for us. It just doesn't happen that way. That's not how Hashem made the natural world. And therefore we explain, so why was Yosef punished? So we say that there's two types of behaviors, generally, if you want to say, in a very general way. We can divide, we say, as we say that there is two types of behavior from above. Sometimes things come down naturally, and that's the most of the time. Things work in a natural order, and therefore, then we have to make all kinds of intermediaries, so to speak, if you want to say. We will have to make a keli, a vessel, a natural vessel. Why? This influence, this bracha from above comes into nature. That's how Hashem wants it. That's what Hashem wants, and that's what Hashem tells us, and that's what we do. Then there's another thing. Sometimes even us, we're privy in life, that not often, very not often, but sometimes we see that there's some bracha coming from somewhere way higher than nature. Because naturally it just can't be. It just doesn't make any sense that this should be happening, that we should be getting this, or that this should be working out the way it is. When we experience that, we have to put ourselves in a bit of a different mode, because that's coming from a higher source. And then we say, Nidresh es us, then it's demanded from us. Darga gavaya yaiser b'midas habitachon. Then we should have a higher level in bitachon, in trust. Lismeich legamrei al hanhagas Hashem levadai, to totally rely on Hashem alone. V'shalai lasei shum davar, we shouldn't do anything. Kiyem livtoyach b'Hashem. Shebetach yazar Hashem yisparech b'derech hasiba. We should trust that Hashem will find a way to get it to us. Like I say, this is not the day-to-day 365 days of the year, normal way we live. However, it's interesting. Some people will say that one category that fits into this is like shidduchim. Shidduchim is way above. Even though we do have to make a keli, big time, it's true. But I must tell you that the keli has nothing to, you see it, nothing to do with it. Ever, ever, ever does it have anything to do. You do it because Hashem said so, but really, that we have to have absolute bitachon. Because the trust, it's you know why? Because the shidduch, as we'll see with kibbutz avim, I mean, the concept of two people getting married in Yiddishkeit is such an incredible, it's a godly thing. And to have that happen has to come from such a high source. It goes way beyond. It doesn't even go through nature. So therefore, there you have to work on yourself to have this incredible level of bitachon that's way beyond everything. Now we come back. Let's see what it has to do with Yosef, and let's see what it has to do with Shabbos. Okay. Ahevdil bein shnei ha'ifanim b'tochen kaim af b'shosha oisim kli. Okay, so the truth, okay, you know, let's skip Beis. Sorry, because we don't have that much time. Go to Gimel. Let's see Gimel. The truth is that this is an attitude, as we say. I just want to share with you what, no, let's look on the top of Gimel, Eitzel. Do you see where it says? He says, Eitzel Rav Yosi Saba haya ha'bitochen ba'oifen shera'a b'chol asiya. Shehi nesina mehashem. So it's on that same page Kuf Chaf Aleph. We know that Rav Yosi Saba, he was on that level, that every single thing that he did, Lisa, is it all right? You?
Yeah, I'm not following.
You're not following. Okay, so let me tell you what we're saying. So which part are you not following?
It's like Esther's helping.
Oh, no, but I'm saying, are you following the concept?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. That's okay. No problem. Okay, so we say like this, that Rav Yosi Saba, he lived his life like Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, that's how it seems. And to him, the food in the cupboard meant nothing. It was as if it wasn't even there. Because what was it? Every single thing that he got, to him, it was as if it was coming directly from Hashem at that moment. That's an incredible awareness, if you want to say, and an incredible level of living. And that's how he lived. And therefore he says, "Ubemela gam kasher ha'eichel yeshna etzlei v'bayis." So even when the food is already found in his home, "Udrushara kachana lachil," and he only needed to prepare it, "hu chosh she'ein ha'eichel shelay," to him, it was as if the food wasn't even his. "Shehu lekeach umeichin. It's not as if he's taking from his own and preparing. Ella tisyahiv mibi malka. Rather, he felt as if this was being given from the king himself. Hashem at the moment is giving it to him. As he says, Ezois noisin le HaKadosh Baruch Hu at, Hashem is giving it to him now. Ubemeila gam al kach yesh le levakesh, and therefore, of course, he has to ask from Hashem, just like you ask when it's not in the house. Now, what does that have to do with Shabbos? Because we have an interesting question on the story. Because it's said in the story in the Zohar that Yosi used to do this every single day. But Shabbos, he didn't prepare his food. Not only that, but there's another big question. Because on Shabbos, if you notice in the davening on Shabbos, we don't ask Hashem for our needs on Shabbos. That's why the Shemayna Esrei is much shorter. Because Shabbos is not a time to ask for our needs. Shabbos is almost like we feel Hashem has already given us everything in a certain sense. But what we say is that although that's true, I'll show you something very beautiful. He says, let me just see. Ah, go to the next page, the top of the next page. I want to show you this paragraph. He says, Masha Einkein, Rabbi Yossi Saba. So how did he daven? When he was davening that Hashem should supply him for his needs, it wasn't a personal request, which you're not permitted to do on Shabbos. What type of request was it? Tfilasai nava'a dafke, his tefillah flowed. Where did it come from? Ipnei mitziusai shalai legamrei laitafsai etzlai makayim. He actually didn't take any place in himself, which means he wasn't asking for a personal need. Whenever he asked for anything, what does that mean? He's asking for food, he wants to be alive. What was he asking for? Ad shehirgish b'chol tzad v'shal shakol toloi b'kutcha b'richu. He felt everything is dependent on Hashem and his whole life is for Hashem. So when he was asking, it wasn't a need because I am physically hungry. It was a need so I should stay alive and be able to learn Torah, be able to do a mitzvah. So here we have a whole different level. So Rabbi Yosi was permitted, not only permitted, but Shabbos was never mind. It was even more than during the week in a way. Because on Shabbos, the awareness of Hashem is even greater than during the week. So to Rabbi Yosi, it wasn't a personal request. And therefore Shabbos, he was definitely permitted to ask for whatever he wanted, because he wasn't asking for his own personal needs, he was asking as an extension, as we say, to be able to fulfill his mission, what Hashem created him for. And we know, interesting thing that the Zohar says, he says, Es hamiyachalim l'chazdai, the ones who hope, who trust in the kindness of Hashem. What is hamiyachalim l'chazdai? That their whole davening and everything is just so that they should be able to experience that Hashem is connecting to them and they are connecting to Hashem. It's not to fulfill their personal need, it's rather to cement their connection to Hashem. So this is how Rabbi Yosi davened, this is how Rabbi Yosi lived, and that's why to him, Shabbos weekday, he asked all the time as if he was getting it directly from Hashem. Let's see what that means for us, because this sounds like a level that, you know, we can read about. So in Dalid, let's see what he says. We know this is not for all of us. This is not something that we can all reach. A drop from it. A drop of it is connected. We can. At least at certain times when the Yesh Laimah Shezeu HaHevdol Ben Yemei Sachol Ben Yom HaShabbos. This is the difference between the way we live during the week and the way we live on Shabbos. Shabbos, we can be expected to have this attitude at least a little bit. In a sense, that's why, practically speaking, halacha is that way, that everything we do in order to enjoy Shabbos, when do we do it? Before. On Shabbos, we do nothing. Why? The idea being that when we are going to be eating or anything we're going to be doing on Shabbos, we won't even feel that we are doing it. It's not us participating in the preparation. Therefore, it's easier for us to actually internalize that it's coming directly from Hashem. This is what?
Even for women.
Even for women, I know. We need to, yeah. Yes, we know, but you know a lot of it we do to ourselves. Leah, that's what I think, you know, because nowadays, especially, everybody has to have 100 salads, and salads can't be done before Shabbos. Maybe if we would do a little bit less, or maybe we would find salads that we could make before Shabbos, we wouldn't be, you know. A lot of it we do to ourselves. That's the truth. I feel bad to say, but a little bit it's true. A little bit. So.
But if you do know before, that's what's so good.
I know. That's amazing, isn't it?
Otherwise, you'd be doing 7 days a week.
You're right, Hannah. That's the idea.
So that's, thank to God, that's when you can appreciate.
That's the idea, 100%.
And phrases, you can even do it for Yom Tov.
And then that's it. So then you really.
It's true.
But it depends on how you do it. That's it, as we know. Okay. Okay, because we get around everything. But as he says, a very beautiful thing, b'meshach sheish yisimei achol, during the 6 days of the week, kasher yehudi noye kefiyu ba'ayfen ha'mavor b'shulchan aruch, when a Jew conducts himself as is written in Shulchan Aruch, so what does he do? Yelech la'asakov, he has to go to work, v'yisa v'yiten be'emuna, and he does his business properly, right? He does his business, so to speak, faithfully, so he's honest in business. Torah binyane parnasa, so obviously then he's immersed and he's busy with all the day-to-day things. So then, midas habitachon etzlei ba'ayfen shum mevakesh siba v'kli. That level of bitachon, it's true, it's a very high level of trust, but that's where we know that we have a keli, we have a vessel, and we have to invest ourselves and do whatever we need to do, and then Hashem will bless us through our, so to speak, keli that we make, our vessel. Mishum sheyevsha l'tvaya mimenu, because we can't demand from him, sheyis'ala l'mayla mehateva l'gamrei, that he should be above nature, v'shiyye b'tchaynei b'ayfen anayla, that his level of trust should be the higher level. That's not expected from us normal people. Ma she'ein kein b'yayim ha-shabbos, but when it comes to Shabbos, she'einenu yayim ha-maise, it's not a day of work, as we say. Kasher Yehudi miroimim, he's elevated me. From work, if we want to say nidrash me'imai, so it's actually demanded at least a little bit. The higher level of bitachon, which is hamiyachalim lechazdai. What we do is we are yearning for his kindness, yearning to connect to Hashem, and that's all that we want. We want to just connect to Hashem. So, and every single thing that we engage in, the eating, the sleeping, that's the idea of the Oinek Shabbos, is for the sake of Hashem. That's what we say. Sleeping is also a mitzvah on Shabbos. Eating is a mitzvah on Shabbos. The nice clothes, all of this is because in it we see our connection to Hashem. This is a level which is, as we say, a very high level of bitachon. We can have a touch of it on Shabbos, and the idea, as we mentioned the whole time, is that it should carry through to the whole week. When we act this way on Shabbos, that's when we have a weekday that is the way it should be. If not, we don't, as we said. Okay, we mentioned that a few times. Shabbos in the Aseres Hadibris leads directly to the next one. And let's see what's the next of the Aseres Hadibris. The next one is the one of Kibud Av V'Em. Now, that's a hard one. So, because it's like, yeah. Interesting, as we know, fascinatingly, it says in Halacha, according to most opinions, that the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em applies even after parents pass away. So we are never finished with the mitzvah. It is something that we can do at all times, no matter what level we are, no matter what situation we're in. Okay, so let's understand that. So now these sheets have just the mefarshim. It's only one puzzle, but it's important. Just want to see it inside. Okay, so page number we are. Let's see quickly the inside. Okay, so it's page, I think, 239. Okay, so turn to page 239 for 1 minute. Let's see the mitzvah inside the pasuk, and then we're going to see a lot of depth, and there's so much. This is one of the hardest mitzvahs to keep, as we know. Interestingly enough, very complicated, and there's lots, and nowadays there's so many svarim written and intricate and details of exactly how. The mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is written a few times in the Torah. This is one of the main ones. So it says, Kabei desavicha ve'esimecha, honor your father and your mother. Why? And as he said, not why, but the pasuk tells us, leman yarichun yamecha, so that your days will be lengthened. Al ha'adama asher Hashem elikecha noisein lach, upon the land that Hashem, your God, gives you. It's very interesting because in the context of the Aseres HaDibros, we've already read, this is the fifth one, as we saw with Shabbos, it doesn't say anything about a reward, right? And afterwards, no rewards. This is interesting. Here, all of a sudden, what? Yeah, in this one, not in right. That's right. So in Shabbos, it doesn't say. In Anoichi, it doesn't say. But for some reason, Kibbutz Avim chooses to say. We know that in the second set of Dibros, it even extends it more. There's another phrase, Leman Yitavloch. There, it doesn't just say Leman Yarichin Yamech. It says that you will have long life and it will be good for you. Here it doesn't say that in the first Dibros. We'll see why, what the difference is. But it's an amazing thing how of all of the Aseres HaDibros, this one is unique. That's one thing. The other thing also is important to know that this is the fifth of the Aseres HaDibros, which means, as we know when we picture it, the Luchais were given, there was two sets, two sides. So the first side had five and the second side had five. And this is always a very, very big question because we know that generally speaking, we divide them by between man and Hashem and between man and man. And for some reason, this one comes on the first half, which is between man and Hashem. What kind of mitzvah is this? What is the basis of this mitzvah? And this is a complicated mitzvah because of that, I must tell you. And it has, because of that, we'll see, it involves many intricacies and quite a severe, if you want to say, it's not the right word, but quite strict halachas that we would not imagine, because the truth is that this mitzvah is almost a bridge. It actually has both aspects. It is a mitzvah between man and Hashem, as well as a mitzvah between man and man. It actually is both. This is one of the few mitzvahs that have both components to it. That's why it is also applicable even after a parent passes away. Because after a parent passes away, they're not alive in this world, right? So this world, you would think if it's between man and man, then the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. When we say that the mitzvah is between man and God, it means that it's an eternal mitzvah. It doesn't matter where your parents are, here or there, wherever they are. This mitzvah, you are obligated no matter what, because the obligation is more on you. It's what you are doing, how you are behaving. And it is a mitzvah, which is, as we say, we'll have to understand what that means between man and God. How does this have to do with God? We'll have to understand that. But just an important thing that we can notice immediately. Before we go into the Mefarshim, let's just see Rashi. I just want to see something here. Just a quick Rashi. It says in Rashi 12, as you see on the bottom, L'man Yarichun Yamecha. So Rashi says, In Techabed Yarichun Yamecha, if you will honor your father and mother, your days shall be lengthened. V'imlav yiktzerun. He's very strong, but if not, they shall be shortened. How do we, Rashi, know that? So he says, Shedivrei Torah nutrikinheim. And Nidrashim, the words of Torah can, as we say, can be expounded as an abbreviated form of speech, which means they don't always say both sides, right? So in other words, when it says something in the positive, you can learn it also means in the negative. Negative, you can also derive the positive. So he says, Miklal hein lav, from the implication of the positive, the negative can be derived. Or Miklal lav hein, and from the implication of the negative, the positive can be derived. Now, this is a very strong Rashi, if you can see. And we have to understand even also what Rashi means. And there is the famous, famous story we know with Acher. I think that's how one of the reasons he became an apikoros, where he saw the child who was climbing the tree because his father instructed him to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan is the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird. And there it also says, L'man Yarichon Yamecha, right, that you will have long life. And he was listening to his father and he climbed the tree. He fell down and he died. So he said, oh my gosh, two mitzvahs that he was about to do, were in the middle of doing, that both say long life, and he is a young child, and he's gone. So he says, oh, the whole Torah is not true. Okay, so this is an interesting philosophical discussion. What does that mean? What does the Torah mean when it says, Leman Yarichon Yamecha? Because we know, even in our own limited experience of people, there are many people who are wonderful people who treat their parents beyond, and they don't live long lives. So what does this mean? How do we decide what long life is? And why is the Torah stressing this specifically in this mitzvah? This is a very important question. And all these questions, let's see what we can find in the Mefarshim and all the ways that people write about them. Okay, so on the other sheet that I gave you first, And I, there's a reason I'm, me and my copies, it looks a bit funny because, whatever, the top part is really we'll do at the end. It has numbers, so it'll be easier. Let's go to where I wrote number one. Try to. So number one is the Abar Ben El. The Abar Ben El, always very, very nice and gives us a bit of a rational approach. Let's see how he says. What is Kabeid HaSavicha? Kabeid HaSavicha. Nichlal Bazeh Kabeid Hashem. Right away, he tells us. Included in this mitzvah is the honor of God. Why? Because God is of Hamiti. He is our true father. So when we say, we don't think of it that way. When we say honor our father and our mother, we don't just mean our physical father and mother. We mean our true creator, the one who really formed us, who is God himself. And that's what the Chazal explained in the Gemara. L'rabbis, another thing. Achicha Hagadol. This is also interesting that we know it says Kabeid Es Avicha V'Esimecha. Some people are not aware of this, but there's actually a mitzvah to honor your older siblings. Honoring an older brother is actually a mitzvah, according to some from the Torah, coming into the Kabeid Es Avicha V'Esimecha. The extra S is to honor also the older siblings. And then he says, what else we learn from it? V'lamadnu Gam Kabeid HaChachamim. Interesting. Also honoring the Chachamim, so the Rabbanim, Washehim, Avais L'Talmideim, they are like fathers to their students. V'lishmaya L'Navi, to listen to a prophet. Abar Ben El has an interesting, see, he makes this mitzvah quite a general mitzvah, incorporating many, many details. To listen to a prophet, Ulahadar Zakein, and to honor an older person. To give dignity to an older person also comes, any older person. V'lishmaya lebeistin hagadol, and to listen to the high beistin, the yisoid hamitzvah. What's the foundation according to the Abar Ben El? K'dei shetiyah hamisoires chashuva be'enei ha'adam v'yamin ba. Very important, because this is the mitzvah which ensures tradition, that tradition gets passed on generation to generation. We honor our parents. That means that what we are doing is that all of the things that were passed down from the great-great-great-grandparents to the grandparents to the parents, keep on going, keep on going. The chain doesn't get cut off. This is a very important value in Yiddishkeit, the value of the Messiah. The Messiah is the key, we say Jewish continuity. The only way is with that. And that only comes if you have honor of the parents, as we say, and that we will not only, it will be important and valued, but we will believe, as we say, and that's the idea. The idea is, this also shows us an interesting thing in the depth of what honoring your parent means. It doesn't just mean on face value, like, you know, you say yes and then you do what you want. Honor, true honor, is literally accepting, so to speak, internalizing what they teach and modeling and actually acting the way they act. That's true honor for a parent, as you see. And that's what he says, V'alkein ha-dibur hazeh miklal he-adibur se-elekim she-beluach ha-alef. And according to the Abar Ben El, that's why these are in the first five, the godly ones, because this is really a concept in godliness. This is a concept in our relationship with Hashem of really believing and passing on the Torah. That comes from Kibbut Av Va'Em. Just a very nice thing he says beautifully.
If it's Av, yes, but with him.
Why?
So Hashem is also mother?
He's both, of course, of course.
No, just for the first part.
Okay.
So this mitzvah is ongoing. It's the only one really that's ongoing.
Ongoing. It's an incredible mitzvah. Incredible. Yeah. Quite an amazing mitzvah, really. There's a question how you do. You know, there's all the questions how you can do Kibbut Av Va'Em after a parent passes away. But we know, Baruch Hashem, we've been given, I mean, you know, you have the Yahrzeit and you have Kaddish and people have, but it's also, as we say here, when we live in a way which honors them, so to speak, through our behavior, through our being, that so every moment we can be honoring our parents. If we, and we can have that intention as well in whatever we do. And that's a tremendous, tremendous thing. And it says actually, it's interesting. So on the one hand, that's for us, obviously, that's what it is. But also then the side thing that we are told, that's not side, but also it does affect the parents. We always say that what we do down here in this world obviously does affect the parents in the higher world. But even putting that aside, it's a mitzvah that we are obligated, and it's a mitzvah that we can do, and it's tremendous, absolutely tremendous, yeah.
I'm sorry to be negative, but if your parents were not good people?
Okay, so this is a big discussion. So, you know, no, it's a big discussion in halakha how that works, 100%. And like I said, I'm not a rav, and this really involves a whole shir. And there are many things that, as far as how you have to behave to parents and what you don't have to do, you know what? Because you asked that, I want to show you something. On the, if you go to... Sure.
There's also the thing that we've got in Judaism about naming. Svatim name while they're still alive.
Oh, that's right.
We name when we've passed away. Mm. So it's an ongoing...
That's right, an ongoing... Also, Miss Sayra, 100%.
You're right.
That's right, but also you keep up the memory, as you say. It's 100% right. That's right. No, 100%. I want to just show you something. Go to the last page of your booklet. I want to show you something. You see something, Sylvia, the extent, is it the last? Yeah, the last page. Look on, I don't have numbers there, but look on the third box. See when it says, when Rav Dimi came to Israel, he said, once Dama ben Nissina was dressed in a golden silk coat and was sitting amongst the nobles of Rome. His mother came, ripped it off him, hit him on his head, spat at his face, yet he did not rebuke her. Rav Abahu said, my son Avimi is a good example of someone who fulfilled the mitzvah of honoring parents. Avimi had 5 ordained sons when his father was living. Okay, so this is nothing. This is not. There was another one. There's a few stories here. I didn't put them. There's another one where the mother's. Yeah, this one spit in his face. There's a few stories in the Gemara where people were treated terribly by parents, and yet they still accorded them honor. But practically speaking, you have to ask Shiloh because. When it affects you, right, when it has a negative effect, and if a person is becoming psychologically affected, emotionally affected, so you have to be careful. So there are certain things that you are permitted to do and certain things that we are never permitted to do, which is actually interesting. And it said something very fascinating that I saw, that there was a case where the parent, this was also in the time of the Gemara, where the parent was, there's a whole discussion about it, the parent was, not that the parent was a bad parent, but was becoming, I guess, started to have dementia. And in that state was behaving quite abusively. So what did this person do? So this person, it was also a great, one of the great Tanoim, I think. So he felt that he couldn't be with his parent, and he was in Bavel, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. But what he did was he ensured that there were good people taking care of his parents. So he paid for somebody to take care of his parents, and he said, I don't have to be the one to actually physically take care of them as long as I'm ensuring that somebody else is taking care. Now, there's a whole discussion if that's good enough, if he did shirk his responsibility, if he did the right thing. And it says actually that this parent was very upset, so they actually traveled to see him and died on the way. And there's a whole thing about how guilty he felt, and a whole discussion, Zimmer. So there is, there's the halachic ramifications of how it all... Yeah, I'm sorry, Sylvia, sorry. I never do, because it's your sister. Sorry, yes, sorry. So, but it's interesting. These halachas are, and they're hard. They're hard. For some people, but this you ask and you... Yeah.
I think I hear that this is after Shabbos, only because if the parents say be in the Mechalel Shabbos, then you don't have to listen.
Yeah, you don't have to listen. So you see...
Any other.
Yeah, but that's right. We learn it because it comes from Shaya. But Esther, it's interesting. But the interesting thing is that even with that, when there's a way not to listen, with honor. You understand? So this is also a very big thing. It's also a very big discussion how you don't listen. Because it even says, and there's a whole discussion, if a parent is doing something wrong, like let's say, I don't know, they're eating something they shouldn't be eating or whatever. So there's even a way how you can correct them. And there's a way you can't correct them. So there's lots of different intricate halachas. But you're right, we do learn that this is part of, that we only honor parents, not only, but we honor parents as long as they are honoring Hashem, so to speak, in a sense where that if they tell us to transgress a mitzvah, we don't. Right, that's, yeah. They are also obligated in honoring Hashem. So, yeah. So let's see a little bit more inside of for whatever few minutes that we have. Good, we have a few more minutes. Let's get a little bit more depth. So let's see. We'll go back to number one. Leman yarichon yamecha. So how does the Abar Ben El explain this? He says kigmul. He says it is a reward. Al shehetiv la'avaisav, because you are improving, you are doing good for your parents, for your, you know, for the previous generation. Keneged mida. It's like mida keneged mida. This is very interesting. Either it's a reward, simple. You honor your parents, Hashem will give you long life. Or it's not a reward, and this we'll see in other mefarshim, it's a direct consequence. That if you honor your parents, your children will honor you. And this is an interesting thing, as he says, so in other words, what is l'man yarichun yamecha? Not necessarily in years. It means that you will have long days, and as the second Dibreis put it, long good days. The point is that life will be good. You will have benefit. You will have pleasure. You will be able to have a good relationship that will continue in the next generation. And that's, so it's a cause, not necessarily a reward. Okay, that's one way. That's the Abar Benel, how we look. Let's see the other mefarsher. Number two, the Sefer HaChinuch. We cannot go without the Sefer HaChinuch. Let's see how he explains beautifully the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. So it's number two. Mishar Shei Mitzvah Zu, from the root of this mitzvah. Shero'i Leila Adam, that it's worthy and it's important for a person. Shei Yakir, first of all, that he should recognize V'Yigmol Chesed, and he should do kindness. Lemi Sha'asa Imay Toiva, to the one who has done good to him. So this is a basic menschlichkeit, if you want to say, and a basic principle in Yiddishkeit. They have done good to you, you do good to them. V'lo yihye novel u'misnaker v'kafui toiva. These are very harsh words. Novel is like despicable, and I don't know, and act like really like a stranger, and somebody who denies the good. In other words, somebody who does not pay back good with good, rather pays back good with bad. That's a terrible midah. Shazai midah ra'a u'me'usa. It's a very bad midah, and it's a disgusting midah. B'tachlis, like the lowest, he says. Lifnei aleikim v'anoshim. This is something which both God and other people regard as disgusting behavior. V'sheyiten alibay. And he should, what should he put into his heart? What should he actually concentrate on? Ki ha'av v'ha'aim heim sibas heyaysay ba'aylam. The fact is, even before we get to what they've done for us, the only reason you are alive is because of your parents. So this is interesting. This is where we have interesting halachas. Even if they're the worst parents, they have brought you into the world. That's the bottom line. If not for them, you wouldn't be alive. So already you're starting on a playing field where there is certain honor and respect that you have to give, a certain amount of hakara sataiv, of recognition of good for what they have done, just giving birth to you. That's already the first thing. The al kain, the emes ra'i le'lasayis lehem kol kavod, the kol ta'elas sheyuchal. So just for that alone, it's worthy that you should give them all the honor and any good that you are capable of doing. Ki heim hevi'uhu la'ilam, they've brought you into the world. And then, but besides that, gam yagu boy, kam yigiyais bekatnusay, they did work hard when you were little. Even, you know, even the mother woke up for you, we know what infants do. The fact is that it's not easy. As we say, even if they weren't their emotion, whatever it is, whatever the negative things, but the positive, the fact is that if you're alive, then you must have been fed when you were younger, right? You must have been taken care of, at least in a limited form, to some extent. And therefore, okay, so some children might not be raised by their parents. That's true. That has its own ramification. It's true. But nevertheless, as we say, again, generally speaking, but as we extend it, okay, so he says, giving us good. And when you establish this midah, so this attribute in your soul, yala mimena lahakir taivas hakel baruch hu. What that leads to, and this is a theme that many of the mefarshim have, that leads directly to us also recognizing the good that Hashem does for us. Because what the mefarshim point out is when you have a lack in kibud av v'aim, it's almost impossible for you not to have a lack in honoring Hashem. Because actually, it's one and almost the same thing. Hashem brought you, why are we honoring Hashem? Because He created us. But our parents created us, so to speak, in that sense. So honoring your parents is recognition that they formed you, that they brought you into the world. Direct result of that will be that you will realize, well, Hashem is the ultimate creator, and that will enable you, and that will pave the way for you to have true honor of Hashem. And that's what he said, and to recognize all the good that Hashem does for us. And as we say, v'shehu sibasai, right, he is our cause. He's the one that caused, he's the cause that while we are alive, the Sibas Kola Vaisav, and he is the cause of all of our parents, Ad Adam HaRishon, going all the way back to Adam HaRishon. V'shaitzir la'aver ha'aylam v'sipek tzarkai kol yomav v'hemidai al-maskuntai v'shleimusei varav. And we know what Hashem has done. He brought us into the world and He's given us all our needs and He's stood us up properly and He's given us all of our limbs and everything we need. V'nosan by nefesh yedasu maskelas, and God has given us a soul which understands. She'elulei ha'nefesh she'chanunu akel, if not for the soul which Hashem has so kindly given us, yiyeh kisus kiferet in heaven, we would be like an animal. V'yarech b'machshavtoi, and we can, in our minds, we can estimate, so we can actually understand, kama v'kama ro'oloi lihizor b'avaydosei baruch hu, how much we have to serve God. So, the Sefer HaChinuch says it in short, we'll see the other Mefarshim say it a little bit longer. It's an immediate transfer. You honor your parents, you will honor God. No honoring parents, no honoring Hashem. That's how it works, direct.
But then Hashem is the creator and the parents are the shlichim.
That's right. 100%. 100%. But as we see, they're the shlichim that Hashem chose and invested an energy. That's another thing, we won't get to it today, but it's a magnificent thing that it's explained, that this ability to have children is actually a unique ability, that we don't think about it. I mean, we think of it as just a reproduction. But in truth, it's actually a godly thing, because that's the touch of infinity that a human being has. That's the only touch of infinity that we have. Because children could have children, could have children, could have children till the end of time. So this is a godly vestment which Hashem has given us. So in it, in a sense, the fact that we honor parents, we're really recognizing in a sense, even more, in a deep way, that who is really the master of the whole world is Hashem. And He has, let me say, entrusted and given our parents that ability to have us. Just see a little bit, if we have a few more minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know, the Al-Sheikh, he says beautifully, he has a whole thing about the flow, if you want to say. I don't know, the Al-Sheikh is a bit long, I'm just thinking we'll do a quick one. Go to the next page, we'll come back to Al-Sheikh next week. Let's see, which one is it? There was a few beautiful ones. There's one very nice, Evan Ezra. I'm not Evan Ezra, I'm Balaturim. Okay. Oh, I want to show you something just to give you a perspective. Number 9. So go to the third page, you'll see number 9. Because we said Laman Yarich, and either it could mean just a direct consequence or a reward. So the Balaturim says beautifully, he says, when we read that Hashem will lengthen our days, let's not make a mistake. Which days are we talking about? So he says, Chaser Yud. If you see the word Ya'arichun, after the Reish, there should be a Yud. There isn't a Yud. Yes? It's missing. Why is it missing a Yud? She'ein arichus yamin ba'olam hazeh she'nivra behei, ela ba'olam haba she'nivra b'yud. It's a hint that when it tells us about long days, because this takes away a lot of the questions, we're not talking about in this world, we're talking about in the world to come. And the Mefarshim discussed something interesting. Actually, the Gra says something beautiful, the Vilna Gaon, and he says something really beautiful. He says that in the second set of Luchais, it says, Laman Yitavloch, it will be good for you. So some people say that in the first set of Luchais, when it says, V'arachta Yomim, Laman Yarichon Yamecha, that's long days in Olam Haba. When it talks about good, that's in Olam Hazeh, in this world. So he says two very interesting things. He says, the first luchos were given before we sinned. Yes, right. Before the Chet Tzadas. Chet Eidel. Right, so we were on a level of tzaddikim. So to us, all that mattered was the world to come. This world didn't even play a role. So that's why in the first Dibrais, all it has to say is Arichas Yamim, and it means in the world to come, because that's all that matters. In the second set of Luchais, when we are already on a lower level, what we've hopefully done, we are Balei Tshuva, but nevertheless, we're on a level that we've already tasted sin after the Matan Torah. Therefore, Hashem also tells us about the reward of this world, that we will have it good in this world as well. Interestingly enough, the Gra says that there's a discussion. He says like this, that the first set of luchais were smashed, right? The second set of luchais were the ones that remained whole. Had the first set of luchais, had leman yitavlach, been smashed, that would have been a problem. Why? Because when it was smashed, where did the letters go? Back up to Shamayim. In Shamayim, well, we're talking about long life in heaven, no problem that it says it there. But yitavlach, that's for this world. Had that smashed and gone back up to heaven, perhaps we wouldn't have had it in this world. This is where we need it. We need it down here. So that's why it didn't say it initially, when Hashem knew, I guess, it would be smashed or whatever we might say, on some level. And the second set of luchos, which we retain in this world, has to have the part about the reward in this world. But the Gra also says, obviously in different places, he also explains beautifully, he says that in truth, the real reward is the reward of the world to come. Because he says that every reward in this world, we know this is a famous saying in the Gemara, I forgot that language, and the reward for a mitzvah al-madein is called lecha. It's nothing, it's worthless. Because this is only a transient, very short life, compared obviously to the ultimate long and spiritual life in the world to come. So according to most mefarshim, as we see, and leman yarichon yamecha, even if it is a reward, it doesn't mean in this world. We're talking about a long life in the world to come. That's what.
Now, what does that mean, life
in the world to come?
Isn't
so,
that eternal?
Okay, so interesting, because yarichon yamecha, right? When he says yarichon yamecha, so he means that we will actually live in the world to come. What this means is that a person benefits from it. A person can appreciate. The more you do kibbut avim in this world, the more you appreciate in the world to come. Because we say that the appreciation for Hashem that we have in the world to come is in accordance to the mitzvahs that we do while we are here. It's like we are doing, but we don't appreciate now what we're doing because we can't see Hashem or anything. It's a scary thing in a sense, because it's limited to how much, and then afterwards it's too late in a sense, but that's what we reap forever, for all eternity. And the more that we invest in this world, especially in this mitzvah, the more we will have long days. But long days means real days. It doesn't just mean time, it means living, if you want to say, what we call chayei olam haba, as we say. And that's true, yeah.